This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Father, we thank you for this privilege. We can be part of your plan for life. Your plan through your Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Thank you that we can be here because of you, because of your love, your price that you have paid, the blood that you have spilled, that gives us confidence to be here today in your presence, knowing that you love us, that you are not against us, but that you are for us. That we are indeed a child of God, and that you have a place for us with you for eternity. Lord, we worship you for that. And so we come, Lord, to hear you speak to us. Lord, we pray that you will speak to us this morning, not through man, but through your word. And we pray, Lord, that we will have the faith to believe you. In Jesus' name. Amen. It's good to be back. I had a wonderful rest, a wonderful break with my family. I'm rested and ready for 2020, and I hope that you are also. I'm excited about 2020. I'm excited because God is building his church, and he has a plan for his church. I'm excited not because of man's plans or my own plans. I'm excited because of God's plan. And I know God's plan will come to pass. And so that excites me. And I want to start off 2020 with a word I believe God laid on my heart for us all. I was just reading Galatians again. And I was just amazed once again, just God's amazing plan for humanity. That God had a plan for humanity right from the start. And that God is faithful and powerful to execute that plan to the very end. It was amazing just to see how God's plan for humanity to save us from sin and its consequence and give us eternal life through his Son. And he planned it right from the beginning. And it came to be at the right time, at the right moment, that everything came into place just as God has purposed. It's amazing to see that God has a plan, that God's plan is good, it is perfect, and nothing can stop God's plan. And that's what excites me about 2020. I know God has a plan for us, a plan for his church, and that excites me. It's not about my plan or somebody else's plan. It's about God's plan. You know, God has a plan and a promise for humanity. And God's plan, no man can stop. No king, no president, no war, no country, nothing can stop God's plan. I mean, the Bible is full of it. The Bible is full of it, how God's plan comes to pass. And that excites me. Nothing can stop God's plan, his purpose or promises. And we have the privilege, to choose to be part of his plan. And that excites me of 2020, because each one of us have the privilege to be part of God's plan. God's plan is good and perfect, and it will come to pass, and we can choose whether we want to be part of it or not. That's what Proverbs 19 says, verse 21. It says, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. And so we can make our New Year's resolutions, but there is no guarantee that we will keep it. And yes, we can make our own plans, but the plans of man, you know, it's like 50-50. There's no guarantee that all the things that we might plan and dream and scheme for this year, that it will come to pass. There's only one plan that has an absolute guarantee, and that is God's plan. And I want you to think about that for a moment. Do you want to invest your life in a plan that has no certainty? Or do you want to invest your life in a plan that has absolute certainty? And this is what God puts before us, I believe, today. So I'm excited about 2020, not because of man's plan, nor even my own plans. I'm excited because God has a plan. And this year, I'm going to try and align my life as closely as possible to God's plan. Because I know there will be success. There will be certainty. Now, I have heard many sermons about God having a plan for my life, and I'm sure you have too. And yes, that is true. God does have a plan for our lives, but I have seen and spoken to so many that for their whole life struggle to find out what is God's plan, what is God's purpose for their lives. And it took me many years to figure this out, many hours of prayers, frustration, and tears. God, what is your plan for my life? Must I be a missionary? To which country must I go? What must I do to become significant for you? What is your plan for my life? Now, please do not laugh. I am a simple man, and God speaks to me in simple ways. And so one day as I was asking God, what is your plan for my life? God simply said to me the following things. He said, my plan for your life is to be part of my plan. It is very simple, but it changed my pursuit. It changed my questions. It changed my entire life. That I found out that my significance is found not in who I am, but in who He is. And the closer that I am to His significance, the more significant I become. And the further I am away of His significance, the less significant I become. And so I found my purpose and my significance not in who I am, but in who He is. Not in what my purpose is, but what His purpose is. And the closer I align my life to what His purpose is and plan is, the more I find my own purpose. It's only found in Him. The further you're away from God's purposes, the less insignificant and purposeless your life becomes. And you can look at the world. You can have everything in this life and have no purpose, no significance. But if you have God, if you align yourself with Him, you will have purpose and significance. And I was reading Galatians, and it struck me again, God's amazing plan to save humanity from sin through His Son, Jesus Christ, and how He used ordinary men and women to establish that plan. And so we can go throughout the Bible and look at the heroes of faith. They were simple men and women. God, as a matter of fact, chose the foolish things of this world. The common people. I mean, we think, we've just celebrated Christmas. We think of Mary, an insignificant teenager. God used to establish His plan. Oh, what a privilege it was to be part of that. Or God calling fishermen, insignificant, to be part of His plan. So, in Galatians, I was just struck again by this man called Abram. An insignificant man. An old guy. He was like 75 when God called him. Insignificant. Nobody knew about him. Nobody knows about his first 75 years. He was a wealthy man. He had lots of livestock and slaves, and he had an inheritance in the country. This normal guy God called. And he really only became significant when he became part of God's plan. So we read of this in Galatians 3 from verse 6. Consider Abram. He believed God, and it was accredited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abram. Scriptures foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abram. And all the nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abram, the man of faith. God announced His plan to Abram. And Abram chose to be part of God's plan. And in that, he found his purpose and significance. He became part of God's plan and became the father of faith. I mean, what a title to become the father of faith. A man from a pagan country worshiping pagan idols became the father of faith. We read in Romans 4 verse 16, therefore the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all of Abram's offspring. Not only those who are of the law, but those also who have the faith of Abram. He is the father of us all. There is something about this man's faith that made him great and significant. Not only did it make him great, but God called him the father of faith. I mean, who was this man and what was this faith that was so incredible? I mean, it's powerful to think that God not just blessed this man because of his faith, he also blessed all of his offspring. As a matter of fact, God made a covenant with this man. He ties his name to this man. God is identified as the God of Abram, Isaac, and Jacob. For centuries, God ties his name to this man. And then he says, I'm going to bless not just you, but everyone like you. What is this faith? So let us go back to our key verse for today. Galatians 3 verse 6, it says, consider Abram. Consider this man whose faith was accounted to him as righteousness. And understand, there's something we need to understand. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abram. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abram. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed also with Abram, the man of faith. So this morning I want us to start 2020 by considering Abram's faith in the context of God's plan for humanity and the privilege we have to be part of that plan. I want us to consider this faith. There's also something we need to understand. Understand concerning the faith, but also the blessing that rested on Abram that now also rests on us who believe like him. Because of Abram's faith, there was a divine blessing on his life, but that blessing was not just for him, it was for all his offspring. And we today stand here under the blessing of God because of that faith. God says that blessing flows to all who believe like him. So today, let us start with considering Abram's faith. What made his faith so great, and how does that apply to us? When God first called Abram, he was living in a city in Babylonia called the Ur of the Chaldees. And I just want to read you some interesting facts about this place where Abram was living, from which God called him out of. He was living in the country governed by Babylon in a city called the Ur of the Chaldees. And we read some interesting things about it. This city was a very advanced city and was believed to have been founded some 500 years before Abram. It could be compared to a modern city having libraries, schools, a system of law. It was rich and had many valuable treasures that was discovered through archaeology with elaborate jewelry and treasures. So it was a well-established, modern, wealthy city. But it was also a very adulterous city, worshipping many different gods, such as the god of fire, the god of moon, the god of the sun, the god of stars. Ur was an evil city and sinful city. And one can see it in the worship practices. One of the gods, Nigal, the moon goddess, every female had to at least once in their lifetime become a prophetess in the temple and give herself to prostitution. Nigel was the wife of this moon god whose name was Sin. Sin was the name of the god, and so Abram lived in a sin, lived in a city that was dedicated to the god called Sin. Abram's father worshipped idols. We read that in Joshua, I don't have the verse here, but you can check it, Joshua 24, verse 2. We read that Abram's father was not a believer in the God Almighty, the creator of the universe. He was an idol worshipper. He worshipped these idols. I mean, some of the ancient Jewish righteous writers, the traditions and the Jewish culture was that Abram's father was not just a worshipper of idol, he was a maker of idols. He earned his living through making these statues that others worshipped. So Abram grew up in an unbelieving family who worshipped idols in a city dedicated to sin. Abram was a wealthy man. He had many livestock and slaves. He had an inheritance in that country. And he was 75 years old. He was reaching the end of his life. He was comfortable. He had everything that he needed. And it's at this place that God called Abram. And he called him in a very powerful way. God spoke to him, an unknown God. He called him, a God that he did not know. He heard the voice of God. And then God said something to me. I said, I want you to leave your country. I want you to leave your families. I want you to leave your father's house. I want you to leave your inheritance, your country. And I want you to get out. And I want you to follow me to a place that you don't know. I want you to follow me to a place that I will show you as you are going. Imagine that. And Abram chose to believe God. I mean, that's radical. I mean, he has a God that he's never heard of that speaks to him, that calls him to leave everything that he knows and follow him to a place that he does not know. It's not like God gave him the coordinates and say, listen, yeah, this is where you're at and this is where we're going. Like we have today in the GPS. If you want to go somewhere, you just put your destination and it leads you there. No, God says, no. I want you to leave everything that you know and come to a place that you do not know, that I will show you. As a matter of fact, we read of this more in details in Genesis 12, verse 1 to 4. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curse you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And then the very next verse. And so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. Is that radical faith? Or is it childlike faith? I don't know. But Abram not only believed the word of God, he believed in God. I mean, you need to not just believe that God has spoken to you. You need to believe not just that God is real. You need to really trust Him to leave everything. It reminds me when Jesus calls His first disciples while they were still mending the nets. And He said, come, follow me. And immediately, they left everything and they followed Him. There's something about this man's faith that made him the father of faith. Abram heard the word of God, and he not only believed in God's word, he trusted God, and then he did something powerfully. He did what God said. He not just believed, he actually obeyed. And that changed the course of history. He left everything to go to a country he did not know. You know, God still calls us the same way. He calls us while we're still in this world. In the midst of darkness and sin, controlled by the desires of the sinful nature and the devil himself. And then God calls us out of the world to follow Him into the kingdom of light. And every man and woman has a choice whether we're going to be part of that plan or not. God calls us out of this world to a better place, His kingdom, a place we do not see yet. But if we believe, if we trust in Him and make that move, we can be part of His plan. And why must we come out of this world? Why is it so necessary to come out of this world? Well, if you read in 1 John 5 verse 19, we see that we know that we are of God and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. This world is under the control of the devil. And everything in it, the way it thinks, the way it acts, the way that it's going, is controlled by the devil and not by God. And so God says, I want you to come out of the world and its sin. Because if you remain in it, you will die. But I have a plan for humanity, that it will not die, but have everlasting life. I have a plan. Do you want to be part of that plan and see eternal life? The world, of course, refers to that system that is contrary to the knowledge of God and driven by the sinful nature. It's not the physical things, but the way the world thinks and acts. God calls us out of that. In 1 John 2, verse 15, we know it so well. It says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, and then it describes what is this world that God calls us out of. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. It is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away. But he who does the will of God abides forever. That's God's plan for humanity. That we will abide forever with him in heaven for eternity. That's God's plan. For everyone, whosoever believes. That is God's plan. That is a good plan. It is a perfect plan. It is a country that is still afar off, a place that we do not see yet, but it's something that God calls us to. And we have a choice. Everything in this world, the way it thinks and acts, is not of God, and it will perish. And therefore, God calls us out of that. The world is not the created order, but rather that what is opposed to God. You know, desires is part of the creation, but when our desires are for stuff that God did not create it to become, it is evil. And therefore, you see in the world its desires, not that the desire itself is wrong, but what it is desires for, and it's the intensity and the intent and extent in which it desires is evil. And God says, I want you to come out of that, Abram. Out of the idols, out of the worship, and out of sin. And I want you to follow me. And I will give you an inheritance. God calls us out of the world because its sinful ways will lead to death. And so God gave His Son to rescue us from this world. That's God's plan, to rescue us from this world that we may have eternal life, a far better life than what this world can offer. And He has already paid for it. He's already made the way. He's already established it. In the time that we're living in this dispensation of grace, this privilege we have, we live in a time that God has already made the way. He's already paid the price. We can just follow Him. And so we read in 1 Galatians 1, verse 3 to 5, grace and peace to you from our God and Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins to rescue us from this perverse, this present evil age. according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. God has something better for us, and He is calling us like Abram into His blessing. The challenge is when we are still in the Ur of Chaldeans, in our family, in our culture, in that what we know, what God calls us to is unfamiliar to us because we do not see it yet. So God calls all of us to His kingdom that He will yet show us. And we need to decide. The question is, do we believe His call? And do we trust Him enough to leave everything? To leave that what is familiar, that what comes natural, that what is obvious, to what is contrary to what we have experienced, being taught and know. The kingdom of God. The first step to take is to consecrate our hearts to God. We need to choose to believe Him. That's what Abram did. He chose to believe God. And so too, we need to choose to believe God that when He calls us, where He calls us to, even though it's hard to understand, is something far better than what this world can give us. And so we need to choose to consecrate our hearts to God and say, God, I choose to believe, but not just to believe, to trust You. I choose to trust You. And then we need to step out in faith. Step out of the world, the way the world thinks, and the way the world does. We need to step out in faith into the kingdom of God. The way God thinks and the way God does. That's the choice we all have. But you know what? I want to ask the ushers to hand out the elements of communion. While we consider this for 2020. For some it's a new word. For some maybe a word of encouragement. For others a confirmation. But God is calling us closer to His plan. Because it is the only plan that is guaranteed to succeed. It's the only plan that has certainty. But before we can align ourselves, we need to consecrate our hearts. We need to say, yes, God, in this year again, I choose to put my trust in You, in Your purpose, in Your plan. And I will follow You. I will follow You. Three things. God has a plan. It's not only the only sure plan. It is a good plan. And we have a choice to be part of that plan. And this is our challenge. We do not always know what it's going to look like. We don't always know how we're going to get there. But one thing is for sure. God is faithful, His word is true, and He has never, never, never gone back on His word. Whatever He planned and purposed came to pass. And yes, as we see in the life of Abram, it did not end there. No, it was only the beginning. It was the beginning of a journey with God in His plan. And yes, his faith was tested. Yes, it was challenged. Yes, he needed great perseverance and endurance. But in the end, he reaped what God promised. As a matter of fact, we are all part of his legacy. Every one of us who choose to put our faith and trust in him. So I want to encourage you for 2020. Make it your heart's desire. Make it your New Year's resolution. Make it the commitment of your heart to align yourself more closely to God and His purpose. because in that you will find not just success, but you will find eternal life. You will find His blessing, His purpose, and ultimately you will find life. So I want to encourage you with this. I want us to consider this as we partake of communion. Let us consider this. I want us to take a moment. At the beginning of the year, that we will consecrate ourselves. Whether you are still in the Earl of the Chaldeans, or whether you have stepped out and you're still traveling to this promised land. Or maybe you're in the promised land already. I don't know the journey that God has taken you on. But I know today God is encouraging us, reminding us and calling us again to put our faith and trust in Him. Put your faith and trust in Him. Allow Him to show you, to teach you what that means. And if you're unsure about God's plan, He's given us a map. And He has given us a guide called the Holy Spirit. And He has given us one that has gone before us called Jesus Christ. And you want to know His purposes, if you want to know His plan, just follow the map. Be sensitive to His Spirit and follow the example that was set before us. And you will find this promised land. You will find this inheritance and this blessing in Jesus' name. Let's just take a moment. I'm going to give you a moment just to reflect and to consecrate yourselves to the Lord. Let's wait for one another and then we'll eat and drink together. But just take a moment and speak to God in your own words. While we're all considering, if you are here today and you are still in Babylon, you're still in the Ur of Chaldeans, I believe today God is calling you. He's calling you because He has a plan. He has a plan for humanity, and you have the privilege to be part of this plan. He has built an ark to save whosoever has enough faith to get into that boat. And that boat is Jesus Christ. That is the ark that saves us. That is what God has prepared for each and every one of us. And if you are here today and you want to respond from the place that you're at, to put your faith and trust in God for a kingdom that will not pass away, that will not fade, a life eternal with Him, and an assurance that God loves you and that you will spend eternity with Him. If that is you this morning and you want to surrender your life, you want to respond like Abram did to the call, I want to give you an opportunity as all the eyes are closed and everyone is praying. Just raise your hand. Say, God, here I am. I want to respond. Thank you for that hand. Is there anyone else? Thank you. Is there anyone else? Thank you. Is there anyone else? Thank you. I see that hand at the back. You can drop it again. Thank you for that hand. Is there anyone else? Thank you. You can drop your hand again. It's between you and God. Now, Father, I thank You for these people, Lord, that today are responding to a call to get out of the land of death into the land of the living, to surrender their life to You, to embrace the salvation that You have given through Your Son. And I want us all to respond together with these people. I want us all to pray together a very simple prayer that just really says, God, I acknowledge that I am in sin. I cannot save myself. I need a Savior. But I thank you that you gave your Son to save me. And today I choose to accept you as my King and Savior and follow you from this place to your place. And God, I thank you that you will never leave me. You will never forsake me, that I am your child. Because this is what you say, and you do not lie. You do not change. And therefore, I have confidence, and I thank you for my salvation in this day, in Jesus' name. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you that you have called me from my place of sin to a place of life. Thank you for giving me your Son to save me, to pay for my price I could not pay. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for my sin. Today I choose to believe in you, to trust in you, and to follow you. I give you my life. I will follow you wherever you lead me, because now I belong to you. Thank you that today you wash away my sin. You make me new, and I belong to you. I am a child of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've prayed that faith, that prayer in faith, if you believe it with all your heart, and you've confessed it with your mouth, I declare to you that you are saved, forgiven, but more than that, you are born again. You are made new. And God calls you His own. You are my child. And you become part of a legacy of blessing that will continue for eternity until Jesus comes back and then continues beyond, of being blessed forever in the presence of God. Amen. Father, I want to pray for the rest of us. Lord, I want to thank you, God, that you've given us an opportunity to be part of your plan to save humanity. Today, God, we remember the fact that you paid for this plan, not with gold and silver, but with the precious blood of your Lamb, your Son, your only Son. God, we thank you, Lord, that you took our sin upon yourself and paid the price that we could not pay. Your body was broken for us. You faced the penalty of sin, and we will remember and not forget as we eat together in Jesus' name. As we take this cup, which is called the cup of blessing, the cup of eternal life, the cup of the blood of the Son of the Lamb, Lord, we choose as we partake of it to partake of you, your plan, your purpose, and your life. Thank you, Lord, that this seals our salvation. Not this cup, nor the liquid in it, but what it represents, your sacrifice for us. We thank you, God, as we consecrate ourselves to you again afresh this year, this week, and I pray every day. God, draw us closer to you, your heart and your purpose, that we may find our own in you. We thank you for this, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's drink together.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.